Hello, welcome to Spotlight on Art. And today I'm Rob Watson, and I've come up to Loughborough to meet with Miffy Ryan.
Hello.
Paul Caper Dexter.
Hello.
And Laura Dalton.
Hi, Dalton.
I've got everybody. I've got Dalton. We'll get that right.
Dalton. Okay.
I've always got to get somebody's name wrong. And where are we? What's the.
We're in Fearon Hall Community Cafe today, Cafe in the Hall. It's a warm environment that serves home cooked, cheap food and coffees and teas at a much lower rate than you might find without being libelous in some of the bigger corporate chains around town.
And the purpose of our conversation is to talk about Paul, Laura and Miffy's art practice.
Yes, but really I want to focus more on Paul and Laura today, because the reason I've invited them here is because I am blown away by their determination and resilience. They're both, you might have heard the term outsider artist. I'm not saying this is a term I support, nor that I think they are, because outsider artists tend to not break into the art world, whereas Laura and Paul are special to me and impress me greatly because they're both self-taught artists who have broken into the art world and are professional artists purely through their own determination and resilience, really. And that's what I want to get into today, really.
Okay, so let's who should we speak to first?
I'm going to ask a question. It's of both of you, but let's ask Paul first. Okay. Dive in at the deep end, Paul.
Okay.
Can you tell us a bit about your artistic journey? What was the first thing that you did when you thought, yes, this is art, I've made art here?
I can remember from a young age doing large line drawings of houses, big houses, and I wasn't just doing the houses, I was putting helicopter pads in and gas mains and stuff like that. Then at school, I remember the first time I did some illustration work, it was picked up by the teachers as being different and something quite special. And I think from then on, any time I got the chance to make art and create, I just ran with it, and it became very important to me.
What was the feedback that you got from the teachers at the time?
They just were quite aghast, you know. They thought, this is something special, seeing my work and that, and where you use colour and things.
And did you have a sense that you were doing something? Because you've shown us a few of your book that you've got published, and we'll talk about that in a bit more detail. But did you have a sense that you were doing something special, or was it just something, where did you come from with it?
I was always trying to push myself. Back then, I'd see artwork that adults had done, film posters, cartoons. And I'd get so frustrated because I couldn't do it as good as they could. And I carried on, though. I carried on.
You kept pushing yourself.
Yeah, I kept pushing myself, yeah.
Laura, what about you?
It's all right, I've been listening to him so intently, I've forgotten what the question was.
Yeah, no, so have I.
How did your artistic journey start?
Yeah, what was the first time you thought, I've made art here? Or someone else said, wow, you've made a piece of art here?
Ooh, I think it's when I started to get general inquiries about what I was doing, like people asking for my art. Even though I've been drawing since I was five, and it's been the main thing that I focused on, because, not saying that I wasn't good at anything else, but it was the only thing I was interested in, and it was the only thing that I felt seen when I got involved in it. And I used to stay in at dinner time at school and just draw or paint. It was like, I can remember, like, my French teacher, I had zero interest in that, and I just used to prat about in lesson, and she said, do you know what, the art block's open, just go down there and do that instead. So, like, it was always a thing, but for me to really realise that it was possibly an area that I could start making money in and really, really thoroughly enjoy was when I started putting myself out there more on social media, you know, videoing myself painting, and then people buying my paintings, putting them in the property. Somebody would go round and say, that's a nice painting, and then they'd ask for a commission. So I think that was the turning point for me when I thought, I'm doing something here that I think I could really, really move forward with.
And not to sound too personal, Laura, but how old were you when this happened, when you had that eureka moment?
So for the last 5 years, I've been obviously more focusing on my direction and where I wanted to go and who I was. And that would make me 45. Yeah,
So let's go back to Paul. Paul, in how would you describe your work that you do?
I try to be original. I cover a lot of different genres of art, traditional rural landscape, urban landscape, graffiti-based works.
Because there's a kind of fantastical look to, from what I've quickly seen of your work, it's got this kind of element to it. It's like it brings me back to things like I was at an exhibition last week about Art Nouveau, and remember the posters for like the railways,
yes,
the GNER.
They were a big impact on me.
Right,
really were.
Why were they? Why were they important?
Well, they were simplified. They were full of colour. And that they just had the impact. I think that's a word I've used for a long while, really, about art, is if it's got impact. So it hits you straight away and you're like, look, and your eyes go back to it, you know?
And then you've got this thing of being out and about in the local area. So you've got Beacon Hill and other places, that connection with the landscape. So you translate in the two. What's that? How does that work for you?
I think before I got into graffiti art and spray painting, I was already serious, very serious about my art. I didn't start painting until 1997, and really got into it using brushes and trying to do more mainstream styles, but with my own slant, my own take on it.
Can I just say... we were talking about landscapes, and one of the things that really touches me about Paul's work, and I think that's really relevant to this conversation when we're talking about a journey which hasn't followed what you might call a traditional art school route or been kind of endorsed by university lecturers, is that you also paint out of your flat window. So that's another landscape that you kind of open up. So it's like you're expanding your world. Your work expands your world. And I say to you, like, when you paint out of your flat window, and maybe in the foreground there's that crushed can of red stripe or whatever, but I'm thinking Magritte in the south of France, you know? And it's like, and it's the colours as well and the use of light. So it's a really expansive practice.
Because it's very different from a November in... You know,
well, yeah,
in Loughborough, isn't it? You know, it's like you've got this optimism, I think, sense of hope.
There's two views which I've made my own over the past 20 years, I'd say, 15, 20 years. One is directly from the Reek Bailiff's Hut, which is now dilapidated. It's just hanging there. It's been hanging there. First saw it in 1990 and thought, I like that. But it wasn't until 15 years later I just started painting it. And for that, I've done works from the size of a postcard through to 3.5 by 2 foot paintings of it in oil. The other, as Miffy said, is the view from my window. That's been painted similarly, large and small and somewhere in between. And at present, I'm on my 8th A2 size acrylic still life painting, which also incorporates the view coming through the window.
I mean, what's that? How would you describe that world that you see through the window?
Something that's special to me. The flat I'm in, yeah. The minute I got the keys and went and had a look and I saw that window view, I thought, I can, this is me.
Mm. Because there's lots of artists who've painted like that, isn't there? I can't remember, there's a French artist who looked out of his studio And he painted street scenes of Paris, I think it was. So it's not uncommon as a way of doing it. But
what's maybe less common is the class-based dimension of this, not to...
Oh, you have to make it serious.
Oh, yes, I do. I do have to make it serious. But there is a class-based dimension to this, because we've been talking about people that haven't gone to university and who've inserted themselves, forced themselves, wriggled themselves into the art world and, you know, have taught themselves, have this passion. And so it's not the normal window that an artist might paint out of. It's not a studio window.
So you're listening to Spotlight and Art on Sore Sound with me, Rob Watson, and today with Miffy Ryan, Laura Dalton. I changed that from an E to an O. And Paul Caper Dexter. And we're chatting about your artwork. So Laura, kind of this, you know, your journey and your, how do you describe your work?
At the minute, I'd say that my journey is that I don't have a particular style, which I'm more than happy with, because I'm trying to work on discovering who I am and what direction I want to go in. I've recently this year took the leap to kind of move away from the job that I've been doing for the last 5 years to focus on my art. So I'm hoping that will give me the opportunity to work out what my style is, what direction I'm going in. At the minute, I tend to paint very instantly in the moment. So like a couple of weeks ago, I was commissioned to paint 4 large canvases. No idea, no concept, no colour. I turned up, I had the idea, I painted the canvas. And that is how I work a lot of the time. It's like I've got something inside of me. I don't really know what it is, but I need to get it out and get it on a canvas. And I think, you know, we can be really consumed with style and we're similar to this artist or we're similar to that artist, but I'm more about breaking the whole rules and idea of you've got to do this, you've got to paint with this. And I'm sure at some point, like Paul has painted with many different mediums. And that is what art is for me. Like, try something new. You might enjoy it, you might not.
You're following feelings, intuitions. What is it you think you plug into in that dream state that you get into when you do this?
Yeah, literally, that is like no word of a lie. Like, you know, when I did one of the paintings last week, and I met an artist last Sunday, really amazing guy, Nigerian. I'm not going to try and pronounce his name, but his Instagram handle is Lawyer Artist. His exhibition was Neon, and it was about fun and just remembering that art is something that brings a community together. And if we forget the funness of it, the love of it, and make it all so serious, then it's not as enjoyable anymore. And I met him and I looked at his art, and he said to me, I watched you paint that canvas, and I painted it on a dust sheet. That's what my canvas was. And he said, like, where did you get the idea from? I said, just in the moment. I picked the colours and I painted it. And I'm here for that. So I would say that's what I'm about at the minute.
I feel the word, Laura, is, and for both of you, Paul as well, is accessible. So there's a lot of code in art, and a lot of hidden meaning and messages, and you have to be party to certain history, certain information to be able to decode it. And obviously I can access your work on that level, but there are other entry levels.
Yeah.
So it's accessible.
Definitely.
And I watched that video of you painting, and if you haven't watched her, could you just say your Insta handle?
It's Laura Studio Design.
Okay, so I watched that, and what blew me away by it, apart from the fact that it was this flappy canvas, it wasn't even stretched, which would be a total no-no in art college, although that's political as well, because they get stretched now in China,
yeah.
Whereas when I went to art college, we had to learn how to do it ourselves. From the frame up. But what blew me away was you just painted it freehand, like from your mind, you mind-dumped onto that bit of tatty fabric.
Yeah.
There was no pencil marks, and the confidence that... The ease with which you did that and the clarity of line blew me away.
So you're listening to Spotlight and Art, and I want to know two things. What's art like in Loughborough? And what advice would you give people who might be thinking about trying to set out, whatever age, whatever experience, whatever kind of background? What would you say is the where do you get your confidence from to actually start making some work? Paul, you've got that's like a challenge question for you, isn't it? What would you recommend if you were chatting to somebody and you kind of just said, you know, give it a go?
I think really, out of education, out of school education and whatnot, where you'll have guidance and support and space to produce art, start at home. You know, get a table, fold up table, whatever, and just do your thing.
I had a conversation with a guy who's a sculptor in London the other day, and he said, what's missing is art schools again, the kind of accessible art schools, because at the art school you were enveloped, is that the right word, to, you know, 360, everything was about doing art and doing work. And so, and as soon as you left, that's it all dropped off. You no longer had that network of people around you who were also striving and wanting to do something. I know Miffy's experience is different, but maybe that's the kind of posh art school that she went to rather than the we've talked about that, haven't we? Yeah, so despite appearances, she went to a posh art school.
Story. So me and Laura met on our art foundation in Loughborough.
Yeah, the old art college.
We did, and we both surprised them, well, our tutors, incredibly, because neither of us were deemed to be doing particularly well for various reasons. So they were very shocked when they discovered that we'd both been picked to go to Goldsmiths College of Art in 1998.
Yeah, I think it was.
So it was about 1 in 300 applicants that were getting in, and they just couldn't believe that they had their A-star students, and me and Laura weren't their A-star students.
So what do you think that was, Laura? What do you think it was that they saw in you at Goldsmiths that they hadn't picked up here?
I think that year I always describe as one of the best years of my life. Didn't have a boyfriend.
It was all downhill from there.
Yeah. Didn't have a boyfriend, focused solely on my art and who I was. And I think that was the change, like realising that it could be about me and what I wanted to produce. And I would say the foundation degree course was really, really supporting of that. But I think it was having the freedom to explore so many different avenues within the fine art course. And then when I was, basically my mum said to me, it's time to get a job, Laura, after this course, like, you know, stop messing around. And I thought, I don't want to get a job because I don't know what I want to do. So I just basically thought, screw it, I'm going to apply to uni. And Goldsmiths, I spent my summer holidays in London sometimes, and I just thought, natural choice. I'm not going to get in, but, you know, screw it, I'm going to give it a go. Miffy both got in. And it's weird, really, because it, you know, I went there, but I really didn't think I was good enough to be there. And I think that was, personally for me, my downfall. It was the lack of belief.
The imposter syndrome.
Like, 100%. Yeah. Like, I used to basically try and go to my studio and nobody else was there because I just felt like I didn't have the vocabulary that everybody else had. You know, I come from...
I'm 58 now, and I've only just learned to not bother or worry about what other people think.
Yeah.
It's taken me a lifetime to do that. But I want to ask Paul.
Sorry, Rob, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm just worried that the listeners might be up in arms thinking, I thought this was about outsider artists, and now we've learned that Laura went to Goldsmiths. How does that work?
Well, let's bring Paul in.
We'll come
in
back
then
to that. That's the cliffhanger.
Paul, okay. What does it feel like when you have your work exhibited or published in a pamphlet or a book, or you see it and it's, you know, other people are engaging with what you've done? How does that feel?
It's great, yeah. I mean, I paint things for myself. I paint things because I want to see them and I want them there. But other people's reactions, you'll get some that won't be bothered. You get others that are like it. You'll get others that think it's fantastic. As it's subjective, such a subjective subject, it's hard to judge all the time. But I just stick with it, you know, I just keep producing.
And you keep getting asked to show work and...
Yeah. In Loughborough, we had my first real one-man show in 2001 at a group that was then Albert Street Artists in Loughborough. And since then, I've shown, I don't know, 10, 20 times, 15, 20 times in the county, group shows and solo shows, some in Leicester, some in Charnwood in Loughborough. And generally, I'd had good feedback from, you know, the public. Other artists are good to talk to. They'll give you an honest opinion. And I've even sold to some artists, which is a good thing, I think. You know.
At the moment, art's been kind of... It's devalued, it's left out in the cold, it's not really given the kind of attention that it should be in many ways. And it's kind of, how do we stop it being... One, you go and ask for something, you know, you're expected to have a business plan, or you're expected to be a therapist. How do we stop art being... You know, that you have to get a job on the side to pay for your art. You pay for your time to do your art as a therapist or as, you know, kind of a commercial business or something like that. How do you maintain the capacity to do something creative without worrying about all of the other problems that you're supposed to fix, that society wants us to fix?
Oh, deep, deep.
Well, we're in section four, so we get into the deeper questions.
Art is always tasked with doing a lot more than just being art. So when we make fine art, we have a phrase, we say art for art's sake, which has almost become, again, a bit of a protest chant, because it's like, let me just be an artist.
Yeah, do your thing. Do what you want when you want to. Always, unless it's a commission, of course.
But why would you? I agree with you. But when you get commissioned, somebody wants what you want to do. And if you want to break the rules, why are they commissioning you? You know, you can these days just plug it into a computer and get AI to do
if you want that kind
of commission. They want what you see.
That's right.
That's unique and different.
I do portraits as well as other forms of art. And it was said to me by an art tutor that I met many years ago, she said, you don't always get the true likeness of the person, but you manage to capture something about them, you manage to capture their spirit in your portraits. I don't use mechanical means to create them, so they're not always spot on, but there you go.
Do they need to be, though? Like, that's my thing about portraits, like, that's how you've interpreted them. That's how they seem to you. And I think, like, when you are asking any artist that has quite a distinctive style like yours, I'd kind of not know what I was going to get, because obviously I'm sure there'll be some kind of wow out there that you just throw in the mix. But you've got an idea of what you're going to see, but not fully, because that's your interpretation of that person. And I think there's too much pressure put on. If you are a like-for-like perfect artist who does portraits, brilliant. But
Who do you look to? Who do you admire? Who have you grown up with that you think are your inspiration?
Oh, my favourite artist is Tracy Emin. So, like, forever, since college, really. So yeah, like since the foundation degree, really. Who else? There's another female artist. Oh God, I'm never very good with names. What I always do is when I spend time with Miffy, she says the names, then I go, yeah, that one.
Paul, what about you? Who are your inspiration?
Well, we're talking about my portraiture. In portraiture, I've seen work in the Sock Gallery in Loughborough many times by a guy called Kelvin Adams. Really like what he does. And online I've seen work done by a guy called Zinsky, who mixes abstract forms with very sharp, very accurate, colourful portraits. And respect that. You know?
I've discovered that Loughborough's a little hotbed for art.
Definitely, at the minute.
How, how, I,
It's really took a turn, which
sounds really
bad
when I wouldn't have known that.
No, I'm just so excited about the turn that it's taken, because like when me and Miffy were at the OAC, it was a very art established town. Like, you know, the foundation degree was one of the best in the Midlands.
If not in the country.
Yeah, if not in the country. Do you know what I mean? People came like from Cornwall to Loughborough to come and do the foundation degree. And then it kind of really turned sport orientated, which is fantastic, you know, with all the sport and everything. But I've just really noticed a change lately. That it seems to be coming back around, and it's about the creatives again, which is
because there's this terrible thing which I really, really don't like, which is the creative industries. Ugh. And everybody talks about it. Go on, tell us what that reaction
is. It's just always like, oh well, you know, this. Everything always just has to be in an area. It's always you've got to be making money. You've got to be established, and. Why can't we just be free to decide that we want to do a bit of a pop-up and this is what we're doing right now?
But the thing is, industry is a really interesting word to use as well, isn't it?
Because
the connotations, it seems to clash. It's like if you said, well, choose a word totally opposite to creative... I've just had
a trip, an international trip. I went to Japan, and you know, in the airports, and you go, and there's Paul Smith shops, and you know, Chanel and everything else. And it's like, well, you know, you're churning out handbags and scarves and gloves or whatever it is that they sell on these markets. And it's like, kind of, I was trying to, you know, you're wondering that people wandering around Hong Kong airport looking at these things. They've never been to Nottingham. They've never seen, you know, where Paul Smith grew up as a kid or something like that. And it's this completely disconnected, globalised, bland kind of culture, which is, it sounds like you are both very rooted in the place. I mean, particularly, I mean, I'd say Paul was, you know, with landscapes, it's more, is that fair?
Yeah. I did a lot of work from an area called the Outwoods, if people know that. And, the project ended up in 3 8-foot-wide, 4-foot-high panels, painted panels.
I wonder, though, Paul, if this has something to do with part of your artistic journey that led you to paint, which was through the spray can and the street, and that kind of embodied physical practice that is so site-specific and so responsive to the environment. I wonder if that is has been really influential, actually, on your methodology.
Yeah, I mean, spray painting, graffiti, street art, call it what you will, you're working from a small scale to a much larger, whether it's the side of a train or a wall or whatever, you're scaling up. And that's got its...
Challenges,
yeah.
What are your challenges, Laura?
Oh, God. How do you
keep it fresh and spontaneous?
For me, one of the main things that I really, really love to do, and I've just done this continually over the last 5 years, because obviously being in the creative industry, let's use those two words that don't sit together, but I will go to lots of different places. I went to Dungeness a couple of years ago. Have you ever been? You've got to go. It's like a haven for creatives. It's down near rubbish at geography.
Which part of the country?
It's like right at the bottom end, past London, kind of in the corner, near the sea.
Near Hastings.
More like Essex Way or Kent Way?
God, I think it's more... I'm gonna get up on the maps, guys.
I just have a worse memory than me.
I just love the word Dungeness.
Yes.
It sounds like a thing, doesn't it?
Isn't that where Turner... Where was
London?
Well, no, but he went
painted this. Yeah, he did go. Yeah. That might be the connection. Actually.
So it's like literally
on the corner.
Literally on the corner, like so. Folkestone, Margate, Ramsgate, Hastings. Around that area. But
I think Turner was. If I'm probably wrong, I'll have to Google it. But it might be Margate or somewhere like
but
that.
But it's a surreal place. Like I actually didn't even feel like I was in the UK while I was there. It's really, really magical. Like completely derelict. It's like a desert in the like in England, which is really
just
it's I can't actually fully describe it, but it was just a stunning, very creatively giving place. And while I was there, I got chatting to two guys. Turned out that he was an artist from Berlin. He likes to pop there once a year because he like feels very inspired by the surroundings and the place and the people. But that's what inspires me, taking myself from my normal environment, my normal place of work, and travelling around, having conversations with random strangers, you know, visiting. I go to London a lot to see any exhibitions. Just, you know, something will inspire me that's the smallest thing, like two colours that I like on a door. And then a year later, I realise that I've used them as my branding colours. But I've got the photo. Like, I think, like, you've got to remember that to stay creative, you've got to keep your eyes open.
And the standard advice for anybody on an arts course is be open, isn't it? You've got to be open to things.
Yeah, well, you have.
Look, it's been fantastic speaking with you, and I've learnt a lot, and I think the work that you do is amazing. So any last points, or where can people find out more about your work? Or
Well, I've just recently opened an art studio in Loughborough. Side hustle, because artists need them, don't they? So I'll be doing workshops and everything. And I'm also going to do some bits with the community, with MIFI.
So, yeah, with the Bell Foundry Community Committee. So Laura's studio is just on the boundary of our kind of working areas.
And we'll put links to your Instagram and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And Paul, what about yourself?
The studio I use is on Southfields Road in Loughborough, near the Premier Inn. We have a gallery there called the Tangent Gallery. And we, the members, nine of us, will be showing work this November and December.
When's the opening, Paul? Yeah.
The opening is the 21st of November from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And that ties in with what's called Loughborough Lates.
Oh, okay.
So we'll be open, and please come along and attend and see what you think of what we do.
I have just got to say as well, Paul, your work's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It really, really is. Yeah. Like, I love these urban landscape ones. Absolutely stunning.
Thank you, guys. Nice to talk to you today. Thank you so much.